The future belongs to those who control the culture, and the culture belongs to those who control the conversation. So we are having the conversations you wish you could have at church to build a safe and vibrant community. This is the Oz Table Talk Podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Table Talk. My name's Luke and I'm at the table with Dave and Ben. And before we get into our topic for today, we actually have a review. We haven't had a review for a little while, but that's because you guys haven't left any new reviews. So we've got another one. Who has the review?
I do. Thanks for that guilt trip.
Yeah. Well, if you're listening to us and you enjoy it, jump onto Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. We read all of them, we love them, and we give you shout outs and Aussie nicknames, which you should already know by now. So,
today's review comes from Karina. And Karina has said, she entitled her review "Spiritual Nourishment Combined with Humor." And she said, "I've been listening to this podcast for 12 months or so and really enjoy it. Interesting topics and lots of laughs. Well worth a listen." So, thanks for that, Karina.
Yeah, thank you.
And as is our custom, we're going to give you an Aussie nickname. So, what's it going to be?
I think we've got to go with Rena, probably. Can you think of anything else?
You got to shorten it one way or the other. So, it's either Carrie or Rena.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to know if she can tell us what her actual nickname is. Well, she's an Aussie, so she'd have to have one.
That's not necessarily true. I don't have one. So.
True.
But then again, Luke's kind of hard to do anything with.
Maybe everyone calls her Karina.
Sorry? Yeah.
Maybe everyone calls her Karina.
Maybe so. Yeah. Maybe so. Karina, let us know. Tell us somewhere on some social platform.
Yep. Otherwise, you are now dubbed Rena.
Rena. Cool. Also, before we get too far into the episode, we always stop and we have a question for us to chew on to start with from the Humans of Adventism discussion cards. So, Ben, what's our question for today?
So, I've got it here, and it is, when did you witness something unbelievable?
Good question.
So, how do we define unbelievable in this context?
I'd say...
Supernatural?
No, well, sure. But I was going to say, I think that's up to the person answering the question.
Up to the individual?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I've seen some unbelievable things in my life. I'm going to share one example that's special to me because it happened on the day of my baptism. And it was to do with the weather. So, just a brief rundown of what happened. On my baptismal day, I was due to be baptized at the beach about probably half an hour or so drive from the church that we were attending in the morning. And during the church service, it was belting down with rain, like you just about don't get any heavier than what we were experiencing. And as the pastor was sort of announcing to everybody that there would be a baptism at the beach in the afternoon, he was kind of like, maybe, because like, I mean, we were going to get wet anyway, so it didn't matter to us, but the rest of the crowd that were coming along had to take the, you know, semi hike down to the beach because it was an isolated beach that I'd chosen. In the pouring rain. So it was a little bit depressing, right? So that was kind of the outlook. We had lunch at the church. It still was raining. And we went anyway. So we drove to the beach. And as we were heading there, it was just amazing. So probably, I don't know, maybe it would have been until we were about 10 minutes out from the beach where I was going to be baptized. It was raining the whole way. Solid rain too. Like, you know, that kind of sky that you know this is set in. We're not going to see the end of it for a little while sort of stuff. And then, I kid you not, as we got to the beach, you could see this like hole in the clouds. And it was literally just a single opening. That was all we saw the whole day. And this single opening just happened to be above the beach where I was going to be baptized. And not only did it not rain, but the sun came out. And the tide was perfect so that the little bay in which I was being baptized was sheltered because it was a lower tide, so that it was flat like a swimming pool. So it was just a perfect experience for, you know, a special day. And it was one of those times where you're just reminded that God loves you, because he didn't have to do that for me. I would have got baptized in the rain, you know, because I was ready to commit no matter what. But he did that just because I wanted it. just because it made the day special, just because it showed, you know, that he cares. And yeah, so that was pretty unbelievable. I just thought maybe I might share one on behalf of Wilsey because he's not here. It's a very similar one. That's why I thought I might share it. So on the day that Matt was due to get married to Bree, there was a very similar sort of thing going on. So I remember that that morning early, we all went to the beach. And it was clear in the morning when we went to the beach. You remember that?
Yeah.
Freezing cold. But it was...
And all of you crazy blokes are in the water. I don't know what was wrong with you.
Yeah, measuring the hardness of our nipples on the way out because it was that cold. And and then the rain came in and they were going to be married at the beach in a little grassed area. And it was completely outdoors. So... Not a single part of the wedding ceremony was covered. And they had up until, you know, maybe half an hour before the setup was to begin to decide, because that's how far out of town it was. And yeah, it was just a morning of constant, you know, worry and prayer. And Maddie was like so intense about his prayer for this weather that the boys had gone in to just, you know, get a few things, drop them off at the venue for the reception. And Maddie was driving in his car to meet us there. And I remember as we were coming up to the intersection, he just drove straight past, flat out, straight past the venue where he was supposed to be coming in. And we're like, wonder where he's going. Next minute, we see him coming back, doing a U at the roundabout and coming back along. And we're like, what happened to you, mate? And he's like, oh, I was just so deep in prayer that I just forgot where I was going and just drove straight past.
I remember
and,
that.
And yeah, then, you know, they decided they were going to take it by faith and just hope that the weather held out at the venue of the wedding ceremony, and it did. Mm-hmm. And it was the same sort of experience. You know, just a break in the clouds over Moor Park Beach. Everywhere else it was raining, but where they were getting married, it was perfect. So, yeah, another God moment where he's just like, yeah, I'll make this special for you guys.
Yeah. That's great.
I was thinking through this question. What popped up for me was something a little bit on the other side of things, which is that terrible time I was having, and all the way through it, I always felt the love of God, and that's I think that's really what got through it. Not just the love of friends and family, but the fact that God was always present. I mean, I was angry with Him. I mean, really, really angry about the situation with God and everything else, but I still felt that love. And reflecting back on it now, I just think it's absolutely unbelievable that despite the circumstances, despite my anger with God, He was busy sending His love my way and knowing that not only I'd get through it, but at the same time, that He didn't distance Himself at all from me. If anything, He got closer. And
amen.
The other thing I was just thinking of is a couple of our listeners have mentioned how going through these tough times, how can you have a Christian walk with that? I mean, Christians have tough times. We all do. We all have moments where we can experience depression and mental health problems and all the rest of it, but it doesn't have to take away from our walk, and it certainly doesn't remove God from the situation, even if we can't feel Him at the time. And it doesn't make them any less a Christian either. I mean, I went through hell, and I don't feel any less of a Christian because of that. And there will be people who will say that you are for going through that, but that's definitely not the case.
That's right. We don't believe Him.
I love that, Ben.
Yeah, sure is. Sure is. I guess mine is slightly more generalized than both of you guys, but I was thinking about this as to, and I guess it's probably closer to Ben's experience there, and that is when people experience God, right? When they have that experience with Him and it changes who they are. And I've seen it a number of times. I've had the privilege of seeing it a number of times in people that I've known who have been a certain way for a really long time, and then they've let God in and they have become somebody different. It's like when you see a butterfly coming out of the cocoon. It's like that metamorphosis. You know, the same atoms are there, but they have transformed into something that they weren't before. They're not more or less valuable at that point, but they're different. And that is, that's an enormously amazing thing. You know, I mean, from two spring to mind for me. One is our collective friend, Maddie Biggs. You know, I met him the very first time he walked into church, and he was a very different individual to the one that we know today. And that, you know, there is years intervening, but to see him go from A to B is, you know, has been massive. That's a true transformation of a person. And, you know, the other one, you know, was a good friend of mine just today that has, you know, made that choice. And, well, he didn't make the choice today, but I found out about it today, that he chose to give his life to God. And those points in my life, I get all wrapped up in. You know, I get so excited about, because just seeing the change that God has made in my life and then seeing that replicated in others, I just really get such a massive high from that. And every single one of those is unbelievable to me, because if you were to look at those people's lives without the power of God, they would be completely different.
Yeah.
Well, would any of us be here without the power of God?
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
I feel like you just hit a home run, Luke.
Mm.
You know, with what you said, I think you know, if we really think about it, the unbelievable is really, you know, when something changes in us. Mm-hmm. You know, if we really think about it, what you said, Ben, and what I said, you know, they're completely believable, because God is just such an amazing bloke, you know, that of course he's going to do things that are outrageous for us. Mm. So, mm-hmm. you know, we should see that as like, yeah, no, that's completely reasonable. Whereas
that's just God doing God things.
Yeah. Whereas when we respond to that, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, isn't it amazing? Like, for you guys, I guess it's the same, but one of the biggest problems with studying scripture, or with anything for that matter, is that we have, as humans, we have an unprecedented capacity to find information that agrees with what we already believe. Mm-hmm. And I think while ever that is the case, you know, well, it's always the case. What am I talking about? That is humanity, right? And so no wonder it's so hard for people to change, because you need to amass enough, well, for some people it's evidence, for some people it's I don't know what, but whatever it is that God does, it is dramatically different, because it is anytime we have to say we were wrong for, you know, the last X amount of years of our life, that's a really big deal, and that's really hard for people to do. Anyway, that's an incredibly long preamble to our episode. We haven't even talked about what we're coming to.
Well,
so.
It's just a great question, Caleb. That's
your
fault.
Caleb, thank you, man.
So what are we going to talk about today, Luke? You're the one that chose this one, so you may as well introduce it.
Sure. Okay, so we're talking about the loneliness epidemic. And it's actually really interesting. I have heard the term, and I have seen content around that or blog posts here and there for a while. And I put it on the list of stuff for us to talk about. And it feels like it's really timely with, you know, COVID-19 going on and all the rest of it. So people are experiencing a lot of it more right now. But that's not really, I mean, for people who came here expecting this to be all about COVID-19, sorry to disappoint you. We may talk about it, but that's not the point. This is an idea that was from long before that, because mm-hmm. it just seems to be something that is really prevalent in our current society, and it is really, really damaging. And I guess we can chat about it more so as we go, but just for setting the scene, you know, setting the table for the meal, so to speak, there are so many studies that are popping up that are showing links between loneliness and longevity, if you're loneliness, you have a reduction in lifespan, not the opposite. So I just realized I said that
the
wrong way.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. So but there is obviously some sort of physiological advantage in addition to the mental advantage that comes from having a good social network around you, a good group of mm-hmm. committed friends or family or whatever that may be. And so with this coming out, there's a number of people that are very high profile that are coming out advocating for this. You know, one of which is the previous Surgeon General of the United States. You know, he's written a book about it, and he's doing the podcast circuit and being interviewed about it. There's all these people that are having these conversations. And so, yeah, I thought it would be relevant for us to speak into that from a Christian perspective. So.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So,
well, I was just thinking, to set the scene, I pulled up some statistics.
Oh, of course you did. Trust the accountant. Go your hardest.
Okay. So, 1 in 10 Australian age 15 and over feel that they lack social support. 1 in 4 are currently experiencing an episode of loneliness. And 1 in 2 feel lonely at least one day per week in Australia. So, that's half the population.
That's pretty huge.
And that's before COVID. These statistics are nearly a decade old, so they're going to be worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember what the statistic was. One of the ones that I came across, I actually meant to write it down. I can't find it in my notes, but one of the ones I came across was a large-scale survey. It was done in the UK and US, and the question that they were asking, because it's very hard to quantify, right? Yeah, loneliness is one of those things. How many points in loneliness? You know, like, how do you measure that? And so the question that they settled on was asking, do you have someone, or how many people do you have that you could go to if you needed to talk for whatever the reason? And I can't remember the exact statistic, but it was in the 30, it was 30 something percent of people said that they didn't even have anyone they could think of that they could call if they needed to talk.
Wow. That's amazing.
You think about that, you know, and I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I could call any one of you, you know, of the five of us, if I needed to talk to someone, I know you would pick up, right?
Yeah.
And that's not to, that's discounting family, you know, so that... And so, yeah, just to think that there are people in those positions where they don't even have a single person. We're not saying people that don't have a few, but they don't even have one.
Yeah. It's sad. I think that's a reason why social media, you often see these people do these posts for to awaken awareness for this sort of thing. And yeah, it's just, I think that's the reason why they're such popular posts, is because we can all at least at some level identify with this.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, a large percentage of the population, absolutely.
It's funny you mentioned the study in the UK, because didn't they appoint a minister for loneliness in their government?
Yes. Yes, they did. Yeah.
Oh, so I haven't heard.
They obviously see it, this was a few years ago, they obviously see it as something of significant importance to their country's well-being, if they're going to, you know, dedicate a politician to it.
Yeah, and it makes, I mean, it sounds a little funny at first, but when you realize when you think about the health effects on a singular level, that's important. But when you think about it at a national level, if you've got, you know, so many higher percentages of people that are experiencing mental health issues and physical health issues, then that's going to be affecting the country in a negative way. So it does make sense for them to do that. I was actually listening to a doctor talk about it, or a psychologist talk about it, and they were saying that somebody came into, like, a patient was there who was suffering all of these different symptoms, and he decided to test this out. And so they said, okay, I want you to meet me in the park over there, and we're going to hang out with some of my other patients. This is your prescription, basically. And so he got a group of his patients together, and they arrived in this park, and it was, well, when I say park, it was a piece of land which was not developed. And they started planting a garden there in the city. And these people just came together. I can't remember how often it was, but on a regular basis, they came together just to tend the garden, water it, and chat with each other. That was literally all they did. And virtually all of the people's symptoms went away, because they built themselves a social support network that none of them had prior to that. And I just thought that was interesting, that was the most effective prescription that could be written. It wasn't a pill, it was a gardening group, you know?
Yeah, and, well, you know, obviously fantastic that they were outdoors, they were exercising, all of those things, but
yes,
doing anything together could have the same sort of effect.
Yeah, well, we're social creatures, it's not surprising, but the same. I was just thinking, isn't it funny how technically we should be more connected than ever, thanks to social media, the internet, and everything else, but how often is it not, it's not quality connections at times, it's not the level of connection that we're talking about here, where if you're facing tough times, you can go and talk to people, it's not at that level.
I was going to mention,
it's a mile wide and an inch deep.
Sorry.
I said it's a mile wide and an inch deep, rather than the other way around.
I was going to mention at some point throughout the episode that this is a little bit COVID, so covering all bases, Luke.
I'm fine with that. I'm just saying that wasn't the original impetus.
So, I went out for dinner on Friday night just to some friend's place and, you know, haven't actually been and seen people too much throughout the period of this time. And each time that I have, it's just felt really refreshing because when you're at home on your own all the time because of the social isolation rules, it's fine and it's not like, you know, you feel like you're in a terrible spot or anything. But then when you actually get out and you experience real interactions again, like on a person-to-person basis, not over, you know, a computer screen, it's just got that difference about it. And I actually came away feeling like healthier, feeling more well in myself as a result of the interactions, you know, being physical and real. So, you know, just along with what Ben was saying there, I think we need to be careful that we don't replace those real experiences that we have with real people with a merely online friendship circle, if you like. Because I definitely wouldn't diss social media and say don't do it at all, don't connect with people that way. But I think if we only do it that way, we're really restricting ourselves and we're sort of accepting second best. I think we should definitely strive for a better level of connection than is available online.
And I think the other challenge with that is you have to understand the motivations of the social networks. Motivations of the social networks, more often than not, is advertising dollars. And so their job, their livelihood depends on keeping you on the platform. That doesn't make them evil. That just makes them good business people. And so we have to recognize that their desire is just to keep you on there for a long amount of time, not develop deep interactions and deep friendships with people. So it's not to say that you can't, like Dave's saying, it's not to say that you can't build those, you know, good relationships there, but it is a lot harder than in person. And if you are going to do it, you must be intentional, because if you just use the system the way the system is designed to be used, you end up just scrolling mindlessly for hours and tapping like. That is not a relationship. That is spying.
Yes. And can I just go a little bit further than that, because maybe I wasn't clear in my first statement. I think the thing that we just can't do in social media is we can't have real experiences. So we can talk about real experiences, and we can have real experiences on a relational level, but not real experiences together in person.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about that. You know, that's living life together. That's experiencing, you know, just doing things that build a connection and memories with a person. And I think we should not cut ourselves off from that possibility just because we do have the capacity to connect with a bunch of people around the world that we just can't see in person. So it's not one or the other. It's both.
It's this and, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a useful tool. I mean, it's definitely handy for keeping in touch with all your acquaintances, but I do think it does play a part in your closer relationships, in the fact that you can just interact in little bits and pieces throughout the week as well.
Yep. But it's not a replacement.
It's not a replacement. It's got to be on top of, you use it to stage us those little tiny connections. But all in all, it's got those the extra options in order to organize events and that sort of thing. So use them.
And so just to ask a question, like, let's go first principles. Let's ask a more fundamental question. We agree that loneliness is a bad thing, but is it the cause, or is it a symptom of something else? And if so, what is it?
Well, I don't think you can say loneliness is a cause. You know, that's kind of obvious.
Therefore, what is the cause?
Well,
in your mind,
can we say it's not single dimensions?
It's difficult, but it's definitely a lack of community connection. Historically speaking, that has been church for a lot of people, or the fact that they're from a smaller community. Both of those usually play into a part where you're a lot closer to the people around you. And as the world's become more atheistic, we've lost that connection with church. I mean, we still have other bits and pieces like clubs. Clubs are, let's face it, they're replacing church for a lot of people. But it doesn't work for everyone, and as such, some people, well, a lot of people are falling through the cracks, and they just don't have those same social outlets that they used to, which means, I guess, more intentional.
Hmm.
We've all got to be more intentional with it.
Hmm.
So, is being around people enough? Like, you know, is it possible to be lonely and yet still be surrounded by people in the real world?
Yeah. The worst kind of loneliness is that when you're lonely in a crowd. For me, at least, as an introverted person, that it happens more often than not when I'm in big crowds. And I think I was going to say the way that I would define loneliness is actually not about whether you've got people around you or not, but actually about whether you're being seen or not.
Yes.
So when you're talking about being seen, it's not just, you know, having people that you're having regular conversations with and having that social network. Not that I'm saying you were wrong, Ben, but I just think it's maybe a layer deeper than that, where if we're only having conversations with people on a frequent basis that really touch the surface, and we don't actually feel like they really know us or really care about us, or that, you know, the real me is being seen in this friendship, then it's quite possible that you can feel lonely, even though you're, you know, hanging out on a week-by-week basis or on a night-by-night basis, or, you know, however, it could be at work. You could be in a workplace where you don't feel seen, and you have to go there every day, and you spend 8 hours of your day at that workplace feeling lonely.
I definitely agree with what you're saying. I was just thinking through, and yeah, if everything's still on that very acquaintance level thing, it's doing the same thing as social media.
Yeah.
What we were talking about, just those small interactions, they're not genuine. So would you say that potentially connecting on something that you believe in would help a lot?
Yeah.
Because that's going to increase the chances of you having a more genuine connection, because now that I'm thinking about it, I would say it would be those deep conversations, you know, the ones we often talk about that, you know, get out there and have. Would you say that would be a way of creating and sustaining genuine connections with people?
Yeah, I would say that's a very important component of it. I would say, for me personally, the thing that takes it to the next level is that when those deep conversations are about something that's going on in my life that I don't tell everybody. Yeah, which is probably what you're getting at anyway. So being
vulnerable? Would you say that's being vulnerable, Dave?
Yeah, definitely. I think just having an experience where you're able to be real and you don't experience judgment. I mean, that's when you don't feel alone. You feel like you've got somebody in your corner with you, no matter how deep and dark your corner is.
And I can absolutely vouch for this, right? Like, I don't know. How old was I when I met you guys? Like, I don't know. Like, I was mid-20s-ish, right?
Yeah.
I probably knew you guys a little bit earlier, but as far as actually doing life together, I would have been 27, because that's when I moved here. So, up until that point in my life, I had friends, and there's a bunch of people that I would consider very, very good friends, but I'd never had that. What we have, that level of connection where I feel like I can just be who I am, and I don't really need to project the people that you think I am. And I had a lot of loneliness prior to moving here for that very reason, that even the people that were my friends, I felt like there was a degree of expectation. I had to be the Luke that they expected me to be in order for them to be happy, and so whatever that may be. And so, you know, it took me, you know, the better part of 30 years to find people that I could be that around, and that shouldn't be the case. We should all have that as a baseline, I think.
Yes. Having said that, though, of course that takes vulnerability on your own part, but also you've got to find the right people.
That's right.
And I think everyone will have the opportunity to find that person. So I don't want to make this sound like they won't have that chance. Not everyone has the chance. I think everyone has the chance. But I do just want to qualify that, you know, if you don't feel like you've found the right person yet, you don't necessarily need to be vulnerable with just anyone.
No,
it is important to choose somebody you trust. So
You've got to give you a reason to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry to be the one giving the disclaimers, Luke. I know that's usually your role.
That's all right. I kind of feel like I'm liberated. I'm making these unqualified statements over here, and you're the one freaking out. I like it.
I just felt like I was committing treason just then.
Brilliant. So I just want to tap on something. So, you know, Ben, you were mentioning, you know, that the extra value of when it's in something that you believe in, and there's a lot of people out there that, you know, you could think of as being old school Christians, and they'd probably, in a conversation like this, if they were listening to us right now, they'd probably come out with saying something like, you know, well, God's just enough, you know. Well, what do you...
Oh, in that case, why do we have churches?
Ding, ding, ding. Okay, so, but, well, that's a really good thought, but do you guys have any other texture you want to wrap around that? Like,
oh, well, is Adam, it- right? You know, like, yeah, I mean, how far do you have to go? God said it's not good for Adam to be alone when all he had was God. Mm. Right? So, yeah, I mean, that's...
Yes.
Yeah, but it's a no-brainer, right? What you just said, though, because that is so true, you know? Mm. The traditional Christian, the, you know, maybe a couple of generations back from us Christian, would feel very comfortable with saying something along those lines. But I don't want to sound like... really harsh or anything toward them, but I think it's probably just it's neglecting to pay attention to the finer details of what makes humanity and us as social beings, like you said earlier, Ben, function well. And obviously God didn't create us to function poorly, so yeah, I mean, he wants us to function well. And what does it require for us to function well? Well, it does. It requires actual genuine connection.
I think as I was thinking about this, I was actually thinking about this while I was mowing. Mowing for me is like a meditative experience. I always come up with these ideas. I come in from mowing typically needing to write stuff down. So that's like the typical thing for me. And last time I mowed, this was the topic that I was chewing on. And what I came out, one of the key things that I was thinking about was that, wait a second. What about Jesus in Gethsemane? You know, he was there with his friends, and his friends went to sleep on him. He asked them to come. He wanted that level of support from the people that were around him.
He wasn't real happy with them.
No, and with good reason. I mean, if you were about to be executed and you asked me to, you know, come and be emotional support for you and you found me asleep.
No, mate, we're just going to go nap over here.
Yeah.
So I just was really struck me that Jesus was in that position, right? That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he needed friends to be with him there. You know, that's why he invited the three of them up there close with him. So absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if he needs it, then of course we're going to need it. Obviously. But I think what that tells us, to put it in another frame, is that God intentionally built us with a desire that he himself was not going to fill. And the question that I would then ask is, why did he do that? Because he could have created us to only need him. He could have created us to have that single source of social fulfillment, and then any extra would just be nice. But from your perspective, what would that look like, or what would his motive or reason be?
I think this is... a rather hermeneutical perspective to take on, you know, a philosophy from scripture or whatever, however you want to put it. But I've heard some really good arguments toward the fact that three is the minimum requirement for love to truly be experienced, like three individuals. Because when, you know, you have two individuals, it's possible to be entirely focused on, you know, that single individual in a you know, selfish, selfless way, if that makes sense. When there's a third person and you've got to juggle your affections for multiple people, that adds another layer of complexity that enables, you know, that genuine love to be seen. And I'm sure you would have experienced this to a great degree when you had kids, Luke.
Oh yeah.
Where you've got to put aside your needs or even your desire to show your love to your wife at times, because there's a kid that really needs your attention.
Yeah.
Whether you want it or not.
Yep.
And so throwing that third person in, I think gives that opportunity for complete impartiality. And I've got to wonder whether that's part of the reason why God decided it was best to have, you know, those multiple sources of relational, you know, connectivity.
Yeah, and I think another aspect of it is that he desires us to be more like him. And in order for us to be like him, we must be able to support others. And in order to support others, they need to need us.
True, because he doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually a really good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Neither had I until I started talking.
Well, it was a good point.
I was tempted to say that's usually the way with you, but then I thought that's cruel. So I said actually, it anyway with the disclaimer that I shouldn't have said it.
You are just on fire with those disclaimers tonight, Dave.
Yeah, taking it back. Yeah, so yeah, absolutely. I really like that, Luke, because yeah, the neediness on both parts is being filled by the other, which is that truly selfless experience. Yeah, that's great.
So
can I throw a little caveat to something I was saying earlier?
Sure, man. If you want to go with more disclaimers, man,
this is a caveat. Completely different.
Okay, right.
It's probably going to sound like a disclaimer, but it's definitely not.
Yeah, it's definitely not for your own reasons. I understand.
Yeah, whatever. Look, I just wanted to say that I think it's important that we point out, because we've been talking a lot about the sort of antidote to loneliness being connection. We've emphasized actual real in-person connection, you know, as the preferred form, right? I think it's important that we mention that loneliness doesn't then just mean being alone, that you can actually be experiencing the opposite of loneliness when you are alone as well as when you are in connection. If, in fact, there's that degree of being seen that I was talking about before. And so what I mean by that is not that we should always be alone, but that when we are alone, we should be able to still experience peace and joy in our lives, in spite of the fact that we're alone, based on the fact that we know that even in our aloneness, we are seen. And so obviously the primary place where we're seen at that moment is by God, but also that the person that we are, like the person that we are in our character, in who we are, not just the you know, what we're doing at that particular moment, is seen, is known by the people that we're closest to, no matter where they are and where we are. And the reason I bring that up now in the conversation is because, like we were just saying, it's entirely possible for when there's three dimensions to relationship, it's entirely possible for you to not be seen by one of those dimensions when you're with the other one. And so let's say, for example, you're in a situation where you don't feel seen by those that you're with. Can you still have that experience based on the fact that you know that there is another person that sees you? And I think the answer is yes. And it's a little bit more complex. And so it's probably not as black and white as what we were talking about earlier. But I just think it's an important dimension that we, you know, just pay attention to, that there is more to life than just, you know, being with people all the time. And we've got to be able to handle both dynamics.
Yeah. And if I can wrap a bit of language around it, just to say that being alone is not the same as being lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I absolutely hear that.
Yeah.
So, I guess, there's a lot of things that contribute to this, but why do you think loneliness seems to be escalating? Like, I mean, surely it's always been an issue, but why is it escalating in our society now?
I think probably the primary reason, in my experience, is what Ben said earlier, that we feel so connected by social media that we don't feel it's necessary to connect on the level that we should be. And so what's the word I'm looking for here? We pacify our need for connection with all of these fake connections. And we think that because there's so many of them, that that'll do. But the fact of the matter is that there's still this need inside of us that's not being met, no matter how hard we try to fill it with, you know, constant scrolling or messaging, you know, heaps of people all the time or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
Well, change is hard, and meeting people is a type of change, and we as human beings resist that often. And So social media kind of becomes this easy little crutch for us to limp along with.
That's a good word.
Rather than going out and creating those genuine connections and creating that change would make us happier, we're happy with just this little tiny bit of happiness, and that just satisfies us just enough so that we don't go and find that real happiness that we can get from other people.
Mm. I heard someone say articles that I was reading, videos that I was watching, I saw someone liken it to saying that social media is to genuine, meaningful social connection what pornography is to sex. It is.
That's
definitely
100%.
I just thought that was just such an interesting allegory for him to pick, because there is a lot of constructive information there, you know. Now, while I would personally classify pornography as being completely destructive, whereas I would not classify social media as being completely destructive, but with that removed from the equation, I think it is pretty accurate otherwise. So
well, the principle is absolutely spot on, you know, that we're using it as an escape, basically.
Yeah
as a crutch rather than going out, because it let's face it is hard making genuine connection with people.
Yeah, and it's hard being vulnerable.
So I know we spoke about it briefly before, but just if we could put a finer point on it, be a little more specific perhaps, but if someone is hearing this and feeling that they are lonely, what would you say is the steps that you would take in their shoes? What would be the recommendation you would make to someone who is lonely? How do they unlonely themselves?
Yeah, it's funny you said that, because I was just wondering when we would go there. And
now.
And I was thinking in my mind, you know, what would I do? And I didn't really have any good answers, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, it really depends on the person's circumstances, because this one's a bit of a curly question, all depending on where somebody is. I mean, not everyone's a big risk taker.
Yeah.
So the bigger the risk taker, I think, is going to have an easier time. But if you're a little bit risk averse, there's no real good solution here.
Well, maybe let's talk on a couple of levels. So let's talk to the person who has a place that they can call home. One thing I would suggest is be brave and invite somebody over. Have a meal, have a chat, do something together. That's probably a good place to start building a connection with somebody. And if you feel like it goes really well, you can do it again and again until you get to that place where the two of you like feel genuinely seen by each other.
Baby steps.
I think sorry, Ben.
I was just going to say, that's actually a really good approach. If there's no point in leaping unless you can walk first.
Yeah, I would start by thinking about the people that you have, even existing, that you would consider acquaintances, at least people that you know, ask yourself who in that, like make a top five list, if you like, you know, of the people that you know that you feel you align the best with. And then simply be intentional about cultivating those relationships. Just, you know, start praying for that person for a start, and try to connect with them somehow, whatever that looks like, even if you're starting on social media, whatever. But start by focusing on that person. I don't mean to be stalkerish, but I mean to actually have a meaningful conversation with them when you have the opportunity to do so. And yeah, just keep repeating, like Dave was saying, and see what works. Do you mesh with this person? And eventually, you know, don't expect miracles to happen overnight, but as you build those relationships, you're going to find something. I mean, that was our experience, even with Table Talk. We were friends beforehand, but when we started having these conversations, we had a reason to get together and have deep and meaningful conversations. And we all knew what we were getting into. It wasn't like we were springing it on anybody. We said, hey, this is a good idea. Let's do this. And so even if you take that approach and say to somebody, not that you're going to do a podcast, but say, look, we want to create a group where we can talk about stuff that really matters. Do you want to be a part of it? And if even just one person says yes, that's enough. But if Three people say yes. Brilliant. Do exactly that. Mm. Get together on a regular basis. Set aside time where you're actually going to prioritize that as a group of people to get together and do it. I mean, some people call it a mastermind, or some people call it a care group, or, you know, there's a lot of different ways to look at it, but ultimately it's a group of people getting together to talk about more than the weather.
Yeah. This might
even though Dave started with two weather stories.
This might sound a little bit counterintuitive, but I think maybe a good step you can take as well is to practice listening. Because I think
one of the things in my experience
that has led to some of the more genuine connections that I have is actually being the first one to listen. If you're waiting for the person to be the listener to you, sometimes it won't work out. Whereas if you take that step and initiate by being a good listener to them, hearing them talk about their real problems, then there's a good likelihood that they're going to trust you with theirs if you've been trustworthy. They're going to listen to yours if you've been trustworthy with theirs.
Mm. Yeah, and that is so
true. You gain an appreciation for listening to people's stories after a while as well. I mean, we've just finished Story Month, and it's been amazing listening to and reading over all of these stories that people have been bringing in. It's been a very humbling experience, and you can do that in your everyday life, just going out and just listening to people, and you'll find all sorts of interesting stories from people.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's a good point to initially create that connection with someone.
Yeah. So, like, ask good questions and then listen is what you're saying, Ben.
Yeah.
And that's a great, yeah. I think yeah. that's a great idea. You know, like, I reflected on a bunch of the stories that I read of people that I knew already, and I felt like I didn't even know them after reading their stories. You know, I'm sure you guys felt the same, because it's like, why didn't I ask them those questions to find out those things, you know, prior to Story Month? Because I think, quite often we're, you know, going through the rush of life and we're not slowing down enough to you know, have those conversations where it's like, so what's your go? I've got one little other secret ingredient for connection. I don't know what it's like elsewhere, but I know in Australia, sitting around a campfire, best conversations ever. You know, like, it's just, you know, staring into the fire just sort of mesmerizes you, relaxes you, makes you feel like, you know, you could talk about just about anything. So, you know, that might be a little nice little thing you could do, go camping or have a little fire in the backyard and just sit around a fire and talk.
It's also a shared experience, right?
Bush telly.
Yeah, that is the way it should be. Well, I feel like we're kind of wrapping. Do you guys have any final thoughts, anything you think we need to hit on before we close?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, we talked to the people that have a home. What about those that don't have one? As in, not necessarily homeless, but people that, you know, maybe live with their folks or don't have somewhere where they can invite somebody around to their place. What would you recommend to them?
Well, I think the suggestion that you made in the hospitality episode, that was probably a really good one for that, to pick a place and picnic together.
Yeah.
You know, you can do things. It's just a case of requiring that little bit of extra thought, preparation, whatever that may be.
Go to the beach, but have a barbie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So many things you can do.
Yeah. Bushwalk, climb a mountain.
Oh, yeah. Now
I know I'm talking your language, Dave.
I think I might go and do that now.
Yep, just now at
They don't need to know the PM. Time. I'm just inspired.
Yeah, I don't know
right?
when they're listening. Sorry, what was that?
I'm inspired. I'm going to go there in my imagination.
Yeah, sounds good. Cool. All right, well, we're going to leave that there, guys. Thank you so much for sticking around with us. I know this is a longer episode.
Can I say before you wrap up? Catchphrase from the episode is I was expecting it to be pretty clear. You both looked at me like deer in the headlights look.
But you better fill us in quick.
Oh, I was just thinking, like, we should have something that, you know, is memorable from this conversation. And for me, that is loneliness is not being seen. So if you want to, you know, counter loneliness in your own life, it's to, you know, find ways to see and to be seen.
Yes, absolutely. And just while you were talking then, Dave, it occurred to me that it's probably appropriate to challenge you guys. So whoever you are, even if you do feel socially connected, but there's never a bad time to reach out to somebody and to listen. So I just like to challenge everybody that's listening to this, pick one person this week and listen to them. Have a conversation, ask them a good question, and then just let them talk to you. Let them tell you some of their story. And if you do that, tell us, like, send us a message or something. Let us know that you did it, because that would just make our day to know that you took that on board and did something proactive about it in your own social circle. So,
definitely.
All right, we should do it too, and we should talk about it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We will do that.
We've got to be as accountable as they are.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Cool. All right, well, we will leave it there. Thank you guys so much. We look forward to catching you guys next week. God bless. And that's the end of another episode. Just before I head off, I want to encourage you to go over to our page on Facebook and also our account on Instagram and follow us there, because that is where we interact with our listeners, and we would love for you to enter in and join the conversation. Also, while you're signing up, I would also recommend signing up to our mailing list on our website, oztabletalk.com.au. If you do that, you will receive our exclusive content, because occasionally we do release exclusives and they only go out to our mailing list. So I would strongly recommend you go and sign up for that. If you have a few more minutes to be one of the most amazing listeners on the planet, you can go over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review, because reviews help us to grow and they help other people to find us. So if you want to help us reach those goals, please jump in and give us a review. The final message that I'd like to leave you with is to let you know about our Patreon account. Now, Patreon is a way for creators to get paid for creating, and ultimately what we do does cost money to get us hosted and have the services that we need to run the podcast. And so if you'd like to help us do that, jump over onto patreon.com/oztabletalk, and you can give anything from even $1 a month upwards. But at different levels, there are different benefits, different rewards that we want to give you just to say thank you for being an amazing supporter of ours. If you can't afford that, we would just gratefully accept your prayers, because that is what our ministry runs on. And so with that, I will leave you to your day, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.